Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the presentation of MAPFRE's preliminary results for the first quarter of 2020. My name is Natalia Núñez, Head of Investor Relations. Just as a reminder, these figures are provisional, as the financial information will be approved by the Board of Directors on May the 18th. This presentation is shorter than usual, and it includes basic data to give you an overview of MAPFRE's performance this quarter. The MD&A and other information, including the usual spreadsheets, will be released on May 18th. As always, we have here with us our CFO, Fernando Mata, who will go through the highlights of the quarter and the key figures. On this occasion, it's also a pleasure to have Eduardo Pérez de Lema, MAPFRE CEO, here with us. He will briefly comment on MAPFRE's figures, and at the end of the presentation, he will also participate in the Q&A session. At the end of the call, we will answer all questions received at the investor relations email address during the Q&A. With no further ado, let me turn the call over to Fernando Mata.
Thank you very much, Natalia, and good morning and welcome, everyone. First of all, I hope you are healthy and doing well. Before going through the preliminary results, I would like to comment on the current situation. During the first quarter of the year, the entire world has been impacted by the spread of COVID-19. The crisis will have relevant social and economic implications, both in the short and medium term. Since the second half of March, the coronavirus has already affected insurance activity and the lives of all the people who are both directly and indirectly connected to MAPFRE. In the midst of this unprecedented crisis, MAPFRE has three main priorities. First, guaranteeing the health and safety of collaborators. Second, ensuring business continuity to provide MAPFRE's quality service level to our clients. Last, contributing to the economic recovery. To achieve this, a wide range of initiatives were implemented, including, first, rollout of our business continuity plan in all countries and business units, adapting it to the special nature of the COVID crisis, with nearly 90% of employees worldwide working from home. Guaranteeing essential services for clients through the entire provider network, including tow trucks, repair shops, home repairs, medical centers, and funeral homes. We are also carefully monitoring and evaluating the risks that have emerged from the crisis. We are protecting our balance sheet, especially the investment portfolio, and preserving the group's capital position. We are also focused on ensuring we have liquidity and financing that could be necessary in the case of further financial tension, especially in emerging countries. We are mobilizing resources and transferring funds to the real economy through direct donations, as well as through measures for our clients and other stakeholders, coordinated with MAPFRE Foundation's contribution to society. Please turn to the next page. The COVID-19 crisis has had asymmetric economic impacts for MAPFRE. The asset side of the balance sheet is already reflecting the crisis after the downturn in equity markets and in currencies from emerging countries. Business volumes have also been affected by lower economic activity, as well as lockdown measures. It is important to highlight MAPFRE's diversification by geography and product line. Technical margins should be resilient as direct impacts in lines of business related to the virus, including health, burial, or life protections, are expected to be mitigated by other lines. Particularly, we're seeing mainly in April, a short-term fall in motor and general P&C claims due to lower business activity and lockdown measures. The health crisis and economic slowdown had a very limited impact on insurance and reinsurance operations during this first quarter, as the spread of the virus in Europe and America took place mainly in April. Therefore, still too soon to evaluate the longer term impacts, which will depend on how long and how severe this crisis proves to be. Finally, regarding NatCat events, the earthquake in Puerto Rico and Storm Gloria in the northeast of Spain during early 2020 had a 67.5 million euro impact on the attributable result. Mapfre's capital position continues to be excellent, with a limited exposure to interest rates and credit, and with a high share of sovereign debt in our portfolio. Balance sheet flexibility is a guarantee for resilience. Our assets are very liquid. Our cash position is relevant and could be complemented by available credit and other available financing. Also, we continue to manage our balance sheet with a prudent approach. Technical reserves are booked on an accrual basis with a prudential risk margin. And during the first quarter, we didn't book any additional provisions to cover potential costs due to the change in economic cycle. Nevertheless, IBNR reserves were strengthened during the first quarter and based on actuarial hypotheses for general P&C in Iberia and travel assistance in the United Kingdom. Please turn to next page. Regarding the figures for the first quarter of the year, our top line has been largely impacted by currency movements, financial market volatility, and also a fall in business activity. At constant exchange rates, non-life premiums are up slightly, 0.6%, and life premiums are down 9%, mainly due to the challenging environment for life savings product, which has been going on for some time. On the other hand, life protection premiums have proven quite resilient. The net result stands at 127 million euros and has been hit by the two significant weather-related events that I just mentioned. As a result, the combined ratio stands at 100%, and excluding these two events, it would be around 97%. Assets under management are down around 7% during the quarter, and shareholders' equity is down 11% due to the downturn in financial markets and currency depreciations. The ROE, excluding last year's goodwill write-downs, would have been 7.6%. Our capital position continues to be strong, with the Solvency II ratio standing at 187% at the close of 2019. On the next slide, we will take a look at the key figures by business unit. First of all, I would like to highlight the contribution from our insurance units, continuing the solid trends from previous quarters. Iberia continues to be the largest profit contributor, and the fall is due to higher weather-related claims. Regarding premiums, in Spain, we have continued to outperform the market in non-life in most lines of business, with the exception of motor, where we have taken a more cautious approach given the current pricing environment. Premiums are down in life and savings, but we are significantly outperforming the market in life protections. In our business outside of Spain, it is important to mention the strong impact that currency movements have had both on premiums and results, especially in Brazil, Mexico, Colombia, and also Turkey. In LATAM, I would like to highlight that all three regions are reporting ROEs over 10%, and combined ratios are in the range of 90 to 97%. Results have improved mainly due to the strong performance in Mexico and across Central America, especially in general P&C. I will also like to highlight our acquisitions of a 51% stake in a health insurer in the Dominican Republic, which has already contributed over 54 million euros in premiums during this quarter, with a net result of 1.5 million euros. Regarding the international business, results are up by over 17 million euros year on year. There were two large impacts in North America. First, the 14 million euros realized gain was as a result of the sale of a building in Boston. This sale was initially scheduled for the fourth quarter of 2019. Probably you remember we have a couple of units in the market, but finally we couldn't materialize last year. And second, the 21 million euro net loss in Puerto Rico as a result of the already mentioned earthquake. It is also important to mention the improving results in Turkey. We've seen a significant decrease in motor frequency based on a stricter underwriting policy implemented previous years. In the assistance business, the lockdown situation and the massive flight cancellations at the end of March have triggered a reduction in premiums and a significant increase in potential travel insurance losses. Practically, the entire Asistencia net loss is derived from IBNR booked in the UK travel assistance. On the next slide, we will take a look at the extraordinary drivers on the attributable results. Now I will hand over the floor to Eduardo to comment briefly on MAPFRE RE.
Thank you, Fernando, and good morning, everyone. MAPFRE RE results were also affected by the Puerto Rican earthquake with a total impact around 32 million euros. Also, we suffered from some large man-made losses, both in the reinsurance and in the global risk segment, and some increases in general frequency losses. In addition to that, given the uncertainty about the future developments of the year due to the COVID crisis, MAPFRE RE has decided to take a particularly conservative approach on certain reserving actions. That includes not releasing certain reserves that would usually be done during the first quarter. Further, we had suffered some timing differences in the accounting of some reserves, usually done during the second quarter, and conservative premium earning patterns that are different in our inwards and our outwards portfolio. Finally, we suffered from an increase in of retrocession cost in 2020 due to general market trends and portfolio growth that we will account earlier than the corresponding increase in premiums from the incoming portfolio. It is important to keep in mind that the positive impact of the 2020 renewals on earned premiums will not be seen until later in the year, while increased retrocession cost has mostly been recognized in the first quarter. Regarding COVID, we didn't have any meaningful impact during the first quarter, as any claim activity that could potentially affect our portfolio didn't materialize during that period. MAPFRE RE doesn't have any material exposure to some of the most affected lines of business, like event cancellation, travel insurance, or certain lines of casualty. Furthermore, in the vast majority of our business interruption portfolio, requires material damage to trigger any recovery, which is not the case with COVID-19. However, there are very few specific cases where coverage without existence of material damage is granted, and we will have some claims activity derived from the crisis. At present, it is impossible to precisely quantify the economic impact this crisis would have, but we expect it to be manageable within the risk appetite of MAPFRE RE and aligned with our market share in the affected markets. Please turn to the next slide to look at the breakdown of the adjusted attributable results. As we already mentioned, we faced two large claims during the first quarter. The Puerto Rican earthquake had a total impact at the group of around 54 million euros. The breakdown by units is on this slide. In the initial assessment of the at the beginning of the year, significant losses were not observed, as there was limited external damage from the earthquake. However, as frequently happens with earthquakes, when loss adjusters were able to visit the sites, there was evidence of more severe damage affecting a small number of buildings in commercial accounts. The loss assessment process has been affected by the lockdown in Puerto Rico, so we have decided to take a conservative approach to claims reserving in order to avoid any deterioration in future quarters. The severe rains and storms in Spain had a total impact of 13.6 million euros in the quarter. Now I will hand the floor back to Fernando to take a look at the other extraordinary impacts on results.
Thank you, Eduardo. Due to the solid performance of MAPFRE RE in previous years, and also the increase of frequency in recent quarters, you becoming a permanent guest at these calls. And thank you for your explanations. Gains and losses are up 20 million euros compared to the previous year, mainly due to a property sale in Boston. Again, it is remarkable the MAPFRE's capacity to realize gains in adverse financial conditions without jeopardizing yields. Excluding all these impacts, the adjusted net results reached 156 million euros, down 14 million compared to the previous year. Please turn to the next slide. Shareholders' equity stood at 8.8 billion euros, down 11%. The most relevant changes are, first, an over 500 million euro decrease in net unrealized gains on the available for sale portfolio, mainly driven by the fall in equity markets and some sovereign spread widening, especially in Europe. Second, a 328 million euro deterioration of currency conversion differences due to the depreciation of almost all currencies. The Brazilian real, by far our second largest exposure, is down over 20%. And the Mexican and Colombian pesos are also down by a similar percentage. And the Turkish lira has fallen nearly 9%. On the other hand, the US dollar is up 1.7% during this quarter. And finally, a decrease of 262 million euros corresponding to the 2019 final dividend approved by the AGM, and that will be paid on June 25th. On the right, you can see the breakdown of currency conversion differences as of March 31st. The balance is negative, over 1.5 billion euros, with a 328 million deterioration during the quarter. Here, I would like to comment that this 1.5 billion includes 538 million of adjustments in Venezuelan and Argentine currencies. This figure was included in reserves last year and was reclassified to currency conversion differences this quarter following an interpretation of the IFRIC. The IFRIC is the International Financial Reporting Interpretations Committee. Shareholders' equity has not been affected anyway by this reclassification. On the bottom right, you can see the detail of the available for sale portfolio in Iberia, which represents three quarters of MAPFRE's total available for sale portfolio. As you can see, the majority of unrealized gains are immunized portfolios. Please turn to the next slide. Regarding Solvency II, on this slide, you can see that according to preliminary 2019 figures, the ratio finished at 187% within our target range of 175% to 225%. We will publish the Solvency Financial Condition Report on May 19th with the final numbers and a full disclosure. The ratio is slightly down compared to last year, mainly due to the lower benefit from transitionals, which explains around a 2 percentage points decrease every year. In addition, the solvency capital requirement has increased due to higher exposure to equity, mutual funds, and real estate in our portfolio. In addition, lower symmetric adjustment this year has increased the capital charge for equities. On the right, you can see the sensitivity analysis. It is very much in line with last year's, except for interest rates. There has been an increase in duration due to the fine-tuning of burial expense portfolio. The greatest impact occurs when an increase of 50 basis points is considered across all corporate and government bond spreads, with an almost 12 percentage point reduction in the Solvency II ratio. Following your request to provide insight on current regulatory developments, we have provided figures with a pro forma ratio at 204%, which offers an important capital buffer for the future. Regarding life portfolio, there are three alternatives under Solvency II: volatility, the matching adjustments, and not using any adjustment at all. At MAPFRE, the matching adjustment is applied to 35% of total technical provisions. This mainly affects the immunized portfolio in Spain, which have a market value of over 13 billion euros. These portfolios are treated as a ring fence under the Solvency II standard formula and do not benefit from a credit diversification. There is a high level of consensus among experts in Europe that this treatment is unfair, as in reality that diversification exists. We are in conversations with regulators and we expect these restrictions to be eliminated in the upcoming Solvency II review. Also, in 2019, we received approval from the local supervisor for the use of our internal model for longevity risk at the MAPFRE Vida unit. The approval process is already underway for the use of this model for group solvency calculations. Please turn to the next slide. You can see the breakdown of the investment portfolio on the left. The investment portfolio is down 6% year to date due to the crisis. During the quarter, there was a decline across most asset classes, with stock indices down and credit spreads slightly widening, as well as strong currency depreciation. The largest exposure corresponds to Spanish sovereign debt, almost 18 billion euros, very similar to previous quarter. We also have around 2.8 billion euros in Italian debt, of which 80% is in immunized portfolios. Our portfolio is well prepared for market volatility going forward. We have defensive fixed income portfolio, the majority investment grade, with a high degree of liquidity and very well diversified across sectors. Please turn to the next slide for closing remarks. Performance of the insurance business has been outstanding, reaching a net result of nearly 200 million euros, up 10%. Regarding MAPFRE RE, no doubt it will be a challenging year for reinsurance. As we've seen in the industry, direct exposure should be manageable, although there will be some claims activity. MAPFRE RE for sure will be able to weather the storm thanks to its financial strength and prudent approach. Right now, our top priority is the health, safety, and well-being of our stakeholders, especially employees and collaborators. This pandemic and the related economic crisis is far from over, but MAPFRE has reacted quickly, implementing our business continuity plans, and the digital transformation has accelerated even further. MAPFRE has a privileged financial position with a strong capital basis and a high level of liquidity and financial flexibility. We continue to demonstrate our commitment to shareholders. The final dividend against 2019 results will be paid on June 25th. And going forward, the board of directors will assess future dividends during the third quarter of the year. Net income, as usual, net income, cash generation, and solvency levels will be key factors for this decision. And regarding the targets announced at the AGM, it wouldn't be logical or prudent to provide any guidance right now, given the high level of financial and economic uncertainty. Later in the year, we should be able, probably, to give you more color on the outlook when the situation is clearer. Thank you for your attention, and now I will hand the floor over to Natalia to begin the Q&A.
Fernando, thank you, Eduardo. We are going to start the Q&A. First questions are regarding Solvency II. Alessia Magni and Ivan Bokmat at Barclays and Alfredo Alonso at BBVA had the following question. Can you please update us on the Solvency II movements year to date?
Yeah, thank you, Alexia and Ivan. For sure, there will be several moving parts that will affect the first quarter 2020 figures. Obviously, we've seen a lot of volatility. We've seen some market movements this quarter affecting principally equity markets, a slight widening of credit spreads, as I mentioned, and also rates and currencies. Also, EIOPA has requested a quite quick recalculation of the solvency capital requirement for the March 31st solvency position. And therefore, these sensibilities, the one we presented in our presentation, will not be exact. Also in March, we will see the impact of the phase-out of transitionals, as well as lower expected future profits in premium. It will be logical to expect a fall, all in all, in the March solvency figures, but it will be manageable for sure. We are not currently in a position to give you the exact number, but for sure it will be manageable.
Thank you. We have another question regarding Solvency II. Pro forma ratio of 203.9%. The regulatory changes account for 22 percentage points. However, the adjustments are close to 17 percentage points. Can you please clarify the difference between these two numbers?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alessia, again. And regarding this pro forma impact, it will be a combined 12 percentage point uplift from credit risk diversification benefit for matching adjustment portfolio, and nearly 10 percentage point uplift increase from the internal model for longevity risk in the Spanish life business. But both there are individual effects. However, as there are overlapping impacts, and the combination of both, the total increase uplift is 17 percentage points.
Thank you. Also, Jonathan Deham at Morgan Stanley asks, when do you expect the credit risk diversification benefit and longevity risk internal model to be approved for the group Solvency II model?
Thank you, Jonathan. I mean, this is I wouldn't say tricky, but this is a very difficult question because it depends on both. I mean, the work we had to do, that, but also the approval from regulators. In the case of the diversification, the credit diversification from matching adjustments, it will depend on when Solvency II review is approved. Hopefully, I mean, we expect next year. For the uplift of the longevity internal model, there is two steps that we had to fulfill. First, we need the approval for the longevity internal model for Bankia Mapfre Vida. It's a Mapfre Vida subsidiary in order to have the longevity risk fully calculated under partial model for this line of business. Then we have to apply for the approval for consolidation purposes, I mean for the Mapfre Group as a whole. So there's two steps ahead, and timeline extremely difficult, I mean, to assess. We will work in extremely hard. Probably at the end of this year, it will be, I mean, a good guess, but it depends on the difficult or the different activities and approvals from both bodies. I mean, the internal bodies in MAFRE and also the local regulator.
Okay, thank you. The next set of questions are regarding dividend and strategy. Alessia Magni and Ivan at Barclays have the following question regarding the strategic plan. Do you confirm 2021 targets?
Thank you, Alexi and Ivan, again, I remember very well when Antonio Huertas, our chairman, unveiled the new 2021, of the update of the 2021 targets. He explicitly mentioned that we were living the first impacts of the COVID crisis. The updated objectives will be evaluated throughout the year in order, if necessary, to make any change or adaptation. So let's say that the updated targets we announced at the AGM, in any case, did not contemplate the current COVID crisis. As I said, it could be one of the largest insurance events in history, and both due to the virus itself, but also to the collateral effects of the economic crisis. We are in an unprecedented moment, and it will be prudent or logical to give any guidance at this point, and given the high level of uncertainty. No one has ever experienced an event like the one we've seen. However, I would like to say that our priorities haven't changed. The transformation of our business model continues to be a top priority for us, and we are focused on profitable growth. Let's say that this famous saying, necessity is model for innovation, and even that we have tested the contingency plan. I mean, the first week after the crisis, I mean, was the right moment to accelerate this process, and a lot of information technology initiatives were extremely quickly implemented. The current crisis even brings us opportunities. We wouldn't like to see only threats, but there is opportunities. And we are continuing accelerating our digital transformation and also putting a lot of importance to our digital channel. As you know, we don't usually provide annual guidance, but even if we did, in the current situation, it will be impossible to the high level of uncertainty that we are facing. I can ensure that we continue working towards those targets.
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando. What I'm going to do is now to start with the MAFRE questions in order to give you some breath and to time to
a glass
to
of
drink
water
some
is.
Water.
Thank you.
Okay, first question from Jonathan Deham at Morgan Stanley regarding MAFRE is, what drove the disappointing result in MAFRE other than the highlighted weather not cut claims?
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I gave a little bit of information already during the presentation. First of all, I would like to say that if we compare with the first quarter last year, that quarter last year was really outstanding. We closed at a combined ratio at about 90%, and with the non-group business, we've been well below 90% at that point. So that comparison is a little bit misleading because it was a very good one. This one hasn't been good, obviously. Obviously, the biggest impact is the earthquake in Puerto Rico. But in addition to that, we mentioned already there were a number of additional effects that are pretty much one-offs, but we decided to concentrate on that quarter. First of all, on our retrocession cost, as you may have heard, the retrocession market has hardened a bit, not that much in our case, but we suffer it as well. And we have been growing the portfolio, as we mentioned. So we had an additional cost in this quarter that that we decided to book a little bit earlier than usual this year and in the first quarter. And then the increased premium, both from a pricing perspective and from a growth perspective, will be earned on the incoming business a bit later on. We estimate that impact in the region of 14 million, so that's a significant one. Also, usually we would release some reserves during the first quarter. We have decided not to do so because of the uncertainties that that we have on the quarters to come due to the COVID crisis. So all in all, there were a number of different effects that are pretty much one-offs that that are impacting overall the results, with also not to hide a little bit of increase in frequency that that we have seen across the market.
Okay, thank you very much. And also regarding MAPFRE RE, Andrew Sinclair at Bank of America asked, even stripping out that NatCat losses, MAPFRE RE would have delivered a lower than normal profit in Q&A. What else drag on the results? Perhaps they are asking about global risk business too.
Well, on global risk, I didn't mention on that one, but because the rest of the explanation is the same for also for Andrew. For global risk, they have been impacted by some large losses. The biggest one for them was the earthquake in Puerto Rico as well, with some two large risk affected and one additional in on the aviation side. So there has been a little bit of activity on the large claim side, and in their portfolio is pretty volatile, so that's the main explanation for that impact.
Okay, thank you, Eduardo. Fernando, we have a question regarding investment income outlook. Low interest and weak emerging market currencies versus euro are likely to continue. What impact do you expect on investment income for 2020?
Well, taking into account the duration in actively managed portfolio has been between 7-8 years, more or less, we've seen between 20 and 30 basic points falls in portfolio yields per year, particularly in the past years. If I remember well, for MAPFRE España, the drop in the accounting yield was like 8 basic points, or between 7 and 8. But so you multiply by 4, it will be between 40 and 40, sorry, 20, 24. But you should consider as well that there is an increase in yields due to the widening of spreads. And so let's say that perhaps, I mean, the decrease in accounting yields that we saw in the past, it will be different, I mean, in 2020. Of course, I mean, market yields are a little bit up, and and all in all, investment income, I mean, in the next quarters will depend on what interest rates and currency do. We've seen a lot of volatility in April, and practically the gains from the stock market of April were they vanished during the two first days of May, and again, more volatility. But as I mentioned, I mean, we implementing a lot of measures in order to protect our balance sheet and also our capital base. First was reducing a reduction in duration. Also, we increase our liquidity, and also we postpone. Perhaps I wouldn't say that we were lucky, but the reality is that the out of this 1 billion. For an alternative investment that approved the board, only 600 million were already materialized at the last year. So it's like 600 million that they were ready to be invested. But fortunately, I mean, this investment has been postponed, I mean, to have a clearer view of the financial markets.
Okay. Very comprehensive answer, thank you. Now, regarding Asistencia business, Andrew Sinclair at Bank of America have asked regarding travel insurance business the following question. What travel insurance exposure have you seen so far, and what exposure do you expect from COVID-19?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, MAFRA Asistencia is a topic again for discussion, and as you are aware, the tourist sector and the assistant companies are experiencing an unprecedented crisis that has now spurred our insurance operation, UK, Australia, and Ireland. This is our main exposure. We stopped underwriting in at the first quarter. If I remember well, we stopped single trips at coverage at the end of February and multi-trips at the beginning of March. In any case, in UK, the pandemic situation has triggered a significant increase in potential, I said potential during the presentation, travel insurance claims, especially at the beginning of the outbreak, I mean, the end of March. Trip cancellation coverage is affected by the limitations on travel and border closings resulting from COVID-19, and most of the losses in the assistance business are concentrated in the UK. Having said that, at MAFRA Asistencia, leader under a third business is travel assistance. One of the units that we've been restructuring was the travel assistance business in the UK, and we have already been reduced exposure to these segments. As I mentioned as well, IBNR reserves for travel assistance in the UK were strengthened during the first quarter based on actuarial hypothesis. Practically, the IBNR we booked was equivalent to the MAFRA Asistencia loss. Therefore, given the portfolio mix, the covers including these types of products and inclusion in new business, the impact is expected to run off quickly over the coming months.
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando. Now we can continue with some questions for Eduardo regarding MAFRA Re. Bobby Mohanty at Amalis would like to know the following with respect to the provisioning in MAFRA Re. Could you kindly throw more light on how you plan to keep changing the current buffers during the next 3 months? We understand that this global pandemic is going to continue even beyond these 3 months.
Well, thank you, Bobby, for the question. As far as I understand this, you are asking about our reserving policy. As I mentioned before, during the first quarter, we have decided to be careful on what we do with our current existing reserves on business that we have in the portfolio, and we decided to release a little bit slower the reserves than we would usually do to have additional buffers for the future. That is correct. And overall, reserving policy in MAFRA Re is strict and is governed, so we will keep the reserving at a very conservative level at any point. And we will recognize any claim that we have in the future, and the buffers that we have are not going to change because of this crisis. We will pick up the losses that we have, and we will keep that. On the duration of the pandemic, unfortunately, we don't have a clear picture yet on how long that could last. It may be more than 3 months, I don't know. We are prepared for whatever comes, and we work on that basis.
Thank you, Eduardo. And also, there are a lot of interest regarding business interruption claims. Farquhar Murray from Autonomous, Francisco Riquel at Alantra, Jonathan Deham are asking about that. Do you expect to pick up any business interruption claims via any of your primary business or MAFRA Re? If so, what is the expected magnitude of the loss? Also, please could you outline the nature of any exposures you have to business interruption, and in what respect the current pandemic is or is not triggered for claims?
Well, I have to admit it's not a surprise that this is a hot topic for most of you, because that's probably the hot topic in the industry overall. First of all, I would like if Fernando allows me to cover a little bit on the insurance portfolio of MAPFRE and the exposure to business interruption. There, we have been reviewing both as group reinsurers and within the executive committee what kind of exposures. The view as of today is that the exposure is extremely limited or inexistent in almost all the portfolio. That on the insurance portfolio of MAPFRE, the business interruption coverage that we are providing requires material damage to be triggered. We don't consider COVID as a material damage, and as such, coverage wouldn't be provided for material damage. And it was never intended to cover such an event of this kind. So on the insurance portfolio, at this point, we don't foresee meaningful impacts. What refers to the reinsurance portfolio, it's obviously a little bit more complex because it comprises a worldwide portfolio with many different clients. I would say in the very vast majority of our exposures also on the reinsurance portfolio, the same criteria applies than on the MAPFRE insurance portfolio. So business interruption is covered when there is a material damage. Same applies to contingent business interruption to the extent that we are exposed. So in the very vast majority of the cases, we wouldn't be providing coverage according to the policy wordings, which is important to mention in this context and with some litigation that is ongoing. According to wordings, most of the cases is not covered. However, there are specific cases and specific clients and specific portfolios where there have been some ceding companies that have been providing a business interruption coverage without material damage. It's usually an extension, and it's provided on an extremely limited number of cases and portfolios. But of course, those portfolios that are providing that coverage, they have a material. They will probably have a material impact on that specific portfolios. It's a relatively limited number of cases, but in those cases, we will see claims in the portfolio of MAPFRE RE. The second question after that one is to what extent there is reinsurance coverage for those cases, because there is sometimes difference between the insurance wordings provided to clients and the reinsurance coverage that has been bought and how it has been designed. It will be a very long-standing discussion and conversation to assess, first of all, if there is primary insurance coverage, and then how the reinsurance coverage will be provided. We know for sure that we have cases where there is no doubt that the insurance coverage has been provided. There are some cases where there is no doubt that the reinsurance coverage is there. In many other cases, there are a lot of questions. To be honest, at this point in time, to give a figure on the amount of claim that we could have is absolutely, well, it's putting a figure out there, but it's so uncertain that we would be misleading at any point. So we prefer not to give any figure to that. What I would say is a limited number of cases. It's within the risk appetite of MAPFRE RE. We don't see that it will cause any imbalance on the company in itself. We will be able to deal with it. And of course, we will have claims, and we will have to pay for some of those. But nothing that is where you would see a surprise in MAPFRE RE. It will be aligned with the market losses that the industry will suffer and within what we expect in our normal risk appetite for a large loss.
Okay, thank you very much, Eduardo. I think this question deserves your insight, and it was very useful, I guess, and I hope for our investors. Now we can move to questions regarding COVID-19. Ivan Bokmar and Alessia Magni at Barclays ask, of the 200 million euros mobilized within the group, how much do you expect to be reflected in your financial results and when? Is any of that already included in first quarter 2020?
Thank you again, Ivan and Alessia. First of all, I mean, the figure of 200, I mean, is pretty big, pretty important. And this is the way that MAPFRE contributes to society and also our stakeholders. Let me just to split into three components these 200 million euros. First, this total includes approximately 35 million that are direct contributions from MAPFRE Foundation. So let's say that they're in the consolidation accounts of MAPFRE SA. As I mentioned, I mean, what we're doing is contributions to society. We're doing quite coordinated with MAPFRE foundations in order to avoid duplications and overlapping activities. The remaining amount, the most relevant part is the financing that MAPFRE is providing to collaborators and agents, which amounts approximately to 100 million euros. Obviously, this is a financing, this is a credit line, it's like a revolving credit line. We are anticipating, I mean, future commissions, and also for those that they need cash, and we provide in cash. And the underlying effect is exclusively the interest that we get in from financial investment that we are cashing in order to give this finance or credit lines. And the remaining amount, which amounts approximately between 50 and 60 million, some of these contributions, they have a full impact in the profit and loss, and other, they have a partial impact in profit and loss. But before assessing this 200 million euros, let's say that the, 200 million, let's say that the first thing we've done in MAPFRE is a full and deep review of our expense budget for 2020, and it was a significant reduction, so near a three-digit figure, and because of some of the initiatives that they were planned for 2020 didn't make a lot of sense in the current scenario. So some of them, they were canceled, and some of them, they were postponed for a better moment. And some of them we didn't incur, such as travel or entertainment on other P&L concepts. All in all, we strongly believe that the savings from the original budget will offset for sure additional expenses from COVID-19. Regarding your second question, so the expenses that they already in the first quarter, let's say that only the reduction in premiums for self-employed people during the lockdown in Spain and some donations, I mean, it was a small figure, they were booked in MAPFRE Spain. All in all, we expect that the overall in terms of expenses, general expenses, we believe that they will be the impact quite neutral in 2020. And regarding underwriting results, let's say that some of the premium return and also help the financing that we're giving to basically the self-entrepreneur policyholders. I mean, they will be offset as well for the reduction that we've seen in frequency, particularly in some lines of business such as home and also automobile. That's all.
Thank you, Fernando. Now, regarding COVID-2, Andrew Sinclair at Bank of America would like to know if we have provided premium rebates or discounts to customers in any key markets. Paco Riquel at Atlanta has also a similar question. So this is it.
Yeah, as the chairman said at the press presentation, MAPFRE wants to be part of the solution to this crisis. And we are adopting measures, including premium refunds and also discounts in order to, and also credit lines and financing facilities to our policyholders and also collaborators. In Spain, we made the largest effort with sole entrepreneur and small and medium enterprise policyholders, and they are the key to the economic recovery due to the multiplier effect that they have on employment and activity. Currently, there are three countries in which we already published this sort of aids to policyholders. First is Spain, and we return premiums to self-employed clients during the state of alarm with an estimated total amount of between, it depends on how long, but it could be ranged between 40 and 60 million. Nobody knows because it depends on the length of the current situation. And out of this, 16 million before taxes was booked at the first quarter. In USA, we announced as well a premium return amounting to 15% of motor premiums on a monthly basis for April and May in the state of Massachusetts, and following, let's say, a strong recommendation from the local, from the state supervisor. And we analyzing other territories, other states, and similar measures in other states could be, you know, taken. But obviously, the amount will be much lower due to our smaller presence in the remaining states. And finally, in Panama, we recently announced a 45% return on premiums on a monthly basis as well in April and May. For motor-owned damage, and the estimated amount of this is less than 1 million. In addition, which is very important as well, as our chairman stated at the press presentation, rates are assessed on majority of the countries in MAFRE on an individual basis and according to the risk profile of each policyholder. It means that in the future, with renewals, I mean, we will assess the risk profile, and for those drivers that they got lower frequency in claims, they will get additional discounts as well in tariffs at the renewal date. That's all for me, Natalia.
Thank you, Fernando. We have now one question regarding investment income. And that question comes from Paz Ojeda Sabadell. And is what is the level of equity and realized gains?
We know this is, thank you, Pat, but unfortunately, I can answer the question right now. We're not releasing this number today, but the information will be available probably the 29th, because this is a number that we usually include in our financial information and in the management discussion analysis report. But let's say that there is a lot of volatility in equities, as I mentioned. They're affecting basically MAFRE RUI and MAFRE España portfolios. And we have a quite prudent approach on equities. There's been, let's say, sales in order to avoid further deterioration of some stocks. And let's say that the loss, if any, and at the end of the, let's say, mid of the year, will be in any case in terms of both net equity under IFRS and for Solvency II capital base will be manageable.
Okay, thank you very much. Now we can continue with one more question for Eduardo regarding MAFRE RE. Paz Ojeda at Bank Sabadell says that the impact of Puerto Rico earthquake has been similar to Hurricane Maria in 2017, whereas the total insured cost for the industry has been lower. Could you explain why MAFRE RE's premium fall -7%, although renewals in January were positive? Could you give us some color?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Paz. On the earthquake in Puerto Rico, what we have released is the net impact, and of course this is after reinsurance. The main difference with the Hurricane Maria is that in Maria we used very extensively our reinsurance program, And in this event, it's a net retained loss. As you remember, when we explained our reinsurance program, we said that we have some proportional cessions and a non-proportional cession where we recover losses that exceed a certain amount. That amount for a first event in a year is $100 million for our group business. In this case, the earthquake is well below 100 million. Pre-tax, we are in the region of $75 million pre-tax. So it's almost fully retained in MAPFRE, whereas the Hurricane Maria was we retained more or less the same figure, 100 million for the non-group business of our insurance group, but we recovered almost more than $1 billion from our reinsurance program. So the loss suffered by MAPFRE from the different events is very different, of course. Talking about our drop in premiums, which is true, is 7%. The reason for that is it's a merely accounting movement that doesn't have any impact on our earnings and growth of the portfolio, and it's a little bit complex from a technical point of view, but it's related to a premium portfolio transfer on a large reinsurance program that we have with MAPFRE Spain. We transferred back to MAPFRE Spain some of their unearned reserves, and this is a pure accounting effect that doesn't have any influence on the earned premiums of MAPFRE RE and on the prospective ability to generate profits. Just for you to know, the non-group business has grown 6.5% in the quarter. If we exclude the currency effect, it's more than 10%. So the business is growing and developing as planned.
Okay, thank you very much, Eduardo. Now there is more questions regarding the investment income. And the next one is from Farquhar Murray at Autonomous, and is regarding impairments. Please, you could outline what we might expect in terms of impairments should markets remain at current levels and the likely timing of those impairments, particularly with respect to equity impairments where outcomes mechanically follow the accounting rules.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, on a permanent basis, we are monitoring potential deterioration, particularly on our equities. We got a deep analysis at June, usually at the mid of the year, but also due to the current circumstances, we analyzed particularly those stocks that they were performing badly during the first quarter. The criteria for equity impairments to establish first if impairment is necessary in equity investments. We carried out an analysis on individual basis, stock by stock, if there has been a significant deterioration. And this is defined as a long-term fall in value, considered as more than 18 months, or a significant fall compared to its cost value of 40%. If 18 months and decrease of the cost value 40%. If after an analysis both conditions are met, the impairment takes place. Unless there are very favorable indication that the value could recover, for instance, when we compare to a stock index or other measures we can take. On the other hand, if only one condition is met, impairment takes place if there are other circumstances that indicate that the value cannot be recovered. As I said, we carefully monitor our equity portfolio, and we analyze the situation at the end of the first of the quarter, and the conclusion was that if there is any potential impairment was negligible. We didn't book at this quarter because we wanted to see. The release of the first quarter results for the majority of the equities. We looked at the share that that had fallen more than 40% compared to the cost value, and a conclusion that we're still looking at quite manageable figures. Going forward for the second quarter, the evolution will depend on the directions that the equity markets take. We saw in April a good bounce in values in the majority of the markets, but it vanished in the first days of May. So let's say that we're still looking at a lot of volatility in equities. In any case, we will continue monitoring and analyzing each position on an individual basis.
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando. Now we have a question from Farquhar Murray at Autonomous regarding Euler Hermes business. And this is the question. Could you outline the nature and size of the trade credit exposure MAPFRE has through its sole union, JB, with Euler Hermes?
This is a JV with Euler Hermes, so this is a figure that we do not disclose, and correct me if I'm wrong, but...
Maybe if you want to give a little bit of color, Solunion, it's true, it's a JV with Euler, and we are not separately reporting because it's not consolidated into the MAPFRE accounts. But however, what we can say is Euler is a heavily reinsured operation that is reinsured to a big extent with the two joint venture partners, and of course we get some exposure at MAPFRE Re from that side, and also from some other credit acceptances in the market to give today. Again, an estimation on what the impact in terms of loss ratio for Solunion will be is extremely premature. At this point in time, we haven't seen any insolvencies, definitely in Spain and most of the countries. It will be something that will develop over time. Just for you to have some information, then on the net premiums of MAPFRE Re, all the credit exposure that we have is... about 3% of our net premium. So it won't be, even if on that line of business the impact potentially can be meaningful, on the overall portfolio of MAPFRE Re and in the wider portfolio of MAPFRE, it's a relatively small figure.
Okay, thank you very much, Eduardo. Now we have a question regarding Solvency II. And it comes from Paz Ojeda at Sabadell. Does a potential Solvency II ratio below 175% worry you?
Thank you, Pat. Very interesting question. Let's say that 175% Solvency II is a quite good ratio in the current circumstances. But I don't see me like answering you back. But there are other indicators or our current capital base that provide additional comfort to MAPFRE, particularly, S&P, the rating agency, they increase our in one notch our rating, and quite recently as well, Fitch reaffirm our rating. Other capital models such as Invest, we quite comfortable as well, and also the ICS, the field test that we carried out so far with the international capital standards for solvency, the provisional figures we have, they're quite comfortable for MAPFRE. So let's say that there is for Solvency II a standard formula. What we're going to see is a V-shaped change, or perhaps a U, but our capital base, is quite solid, and we quite comfortable within this range.
Okay, thank you very much, Fernando. Now we have a set of questions that are more going into details that regarding numbers and figures that I'm going to ask Eduardo. Carlos Pisotto at CaixaBank has sent this question. How much are the MAPFRE Re premiums that cover business interruption without material damage? How much does it represent of MAPFRE Re's total policies or premiums?
Thank you, Carlos. Unfortunately, I can't give you a figure on that because it's no one would split that premiums. I would say on premiums that we accept on an individual basis, on individual acceptances, there is no premium without material damage because we don't write it. But our problem is sometimes included in automatic treaties where we don't control the amount of premium that is there. What I would say, it's relatively meaningless how much premium we have there. What is important is how much exposure we have there, which because what we will see is in the vast majority of the business interruption portfolio, it will have no impact. But on those that have there, the loss ratios will be going into very extraordinary figures. But unfortunately, we don't have that figures. What we are controlling is what we are trying to do is to assess the insurance companies that we reinsure that are providing that coverage and then see how much is their exposure overall and that and then try to arrive at that information. But the premium information, we don't have that, and I don't think anyone in the industry can provide that figure.
And regarding travel insurance policies in the UK, what could be the value at risk there? It's also from Carlos.
Yeah, that is probably more information for Asistencia. I don't have that figure for that. But
Regarding travel insurance policies in the UK, Carlos, perhaps we can give you more color in the future when we release the results on the 18th of May, because we will have more insight in Asistencia business. So we can continue with COVID-19 questions. As expected, there are a significant amount of questions regarding this topic, impacts and future guidance. So actually, most of our analysts have sent us questions regarding this. For instance, impacts on motor claims and combined ratio with information by region, if possible. How the crisis could affect technical and financial results in the main regions. First Q results only reflect a reduction of activity at the end of March. What have you seen so far in second quarter? Magnitude of the positive, negative impact on claims from COVID you expect on each line you mentioned, health, burial, life, motor, and general PNC. What do you expect the net impact will be on claims? So it's regarding expectations and...
Yeah, thank you, everybody. As I already mentioned, it wouldn't be logical or prudent from our side, I mean, to provide guidance at this point in time. It's extremely difficult, I mean, to assess trends, future trends. What we can discuss, I mean, a little bit longer, I mean, is what we booked in the first quarter and or what we've seen in this first quarter rather than the following quarters. And I will split into two regarding underwriting results. First, those line of business that are getting a direct impact because of the virus and those that we've seen an indirect effect on basically the combined ratio. I'll give you just one example. And the most painful, let's say painful, line of business for Mapfre was burial expenses in March. The increase of cost compared to our expected combined ratio for burial expenses was much higher than the savings in automobile. And if you compare both lines of business in terms of premiums, automobile is practically four times burial expenses. Practically, the combined ratio was double the standard. On the other hand, we get a small reduction in combined ratio due to the lack of or the lockdown of our policyholders and the lack of drivers on the street. Also, there is a quite important thing I would like to discuss with you. We've seen a change in the pattern of policyholder reporting claims. And I'll give you an example as well. If you are locked down at home and you got a home accident, probably you report the claim. You call the MAFRE's call center and say, you know, something is broken. And but the thing is, when the home repair MAFRE crew, knock on your door, you're a little bit reluctant because of your home. Is a safe and clean space to live in, and you don't want, you know, external people just to stepping in your house. So a lot of claims, you know, they've been reported, or they're in the face of being reported, but we can repair them. Same happened with health, with a lot of scheduled surgeries were postponed, basically in private hospitals, because the IR and also the beds, they were occupied, but the patients with the virus. What we're doing is just increase our IBNR, trying to assess a proper trend to assess this future impact on loss ratio. But so far, it's extremely difficult to see a proper trend, a standard trend. Hopefully, we'll have a clearer view at June 30, in order to book the proper reserves, and that's basically, from my side. My apologies. It's extremely difficult, to give you any guidance regarding future trends at this moment. But I guess it's the most prudent view I can give you.
Thank you very much, Fernando. We have one last question. This is from Paco Riquel from Alantra. He would like to know if you will be able to offset the Gloria storm with lower frequency of motor during the rest of the year.
Well, I think I already explained. The Gloria, the amount was, the net was 13 million, more or less, but what really, hit our profit and loss account was the burial expenses increase of frequency in March, and also we will see a similar trend as well in April.
Thank you very much, Fernando. I would like just to end the call, and first, Fernando or Eduardo want to give some wrap up or whatever. I would like to remind you that these figures are preliminary figures, and the full disclosure will be released on May 18th. Unless you have questions related to this disclosure, I recommend and we would appreciate if you held your questions until the full disclosure on the 18th. We are organizing virtual meetings on the 20th of May, after you have had time to review the full disclosure. In these meetings, Fernando Mata, the CFO, and also Eduardo Pérez de Lema will be with us, and we can establish a schedule according your interest. Please contact the IR team to prepare the agenda for that day. And also I remind you that you will have the opportunity to talk to Fernando Mata and Eduardo Pérez de Lema. And thank you very much. Nothing more for my part.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here again with us another quarter. Thank you, Eduardo, for your presence as well. Very helpful.
Thank you.
And as a conclusion, I only would like to say that MAFRE is very well prepared for the worst and hope for the best. Thank you again for your presence, and bye-bye.